Super Sunday means we're excited about what God is doing in this place. Super things are happening, and we're going to talk about them today. Part of it is business, but part of it is giving God glory and honor for the things that have taken place over the past year. And part of it is looking forward to the upcoming year and years and what God is going to be doing. And so we're going to tie that all in with Scripture. We wouldn't want you to come to church and not get some of that. We're going to finish Acts chapter 8 today. Acts chapter 8. And the question we're asking is, how does this impact us individually and corporately? Where is God taking us? And so just so you have the outline of the day, once we get through the sermon part, we'll have a short break. We have all kinds of great snacks, if you like fruit and veggies and donuts. And then we'll come back in and we'll conclude the business part. If you're a member, we need you to stay present, at least physically. If you're not a member, we encourage you to stay present because there's good information in there. And we want you to see the great things that God is doing here at Sunny Ridge Church. You're here. That's one of the great things. But there's some other things too. Okay, Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 26. Acts chapter 8, verse 26 says, "As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, 'Go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, 'Go over and walk along beside the carriage.' Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked, 'Do you understand what you're reading?' The man replied, How can I, unless someone instructs me?' And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him." Lord, we pray that your word would strike us, that we would receive it, and we thank you for leading us today in Jesus' name. So number one is the Spirit leads. So Philip, remember, he had gone to Samaria, and he's in the midst of a revival, essentially. People are getting saved and healed and delivered. It's an amazing time. He's at Sunny Ridge Church. Great things are happening. So much so that God has to send, it says God sent an angel to nudge him. "Philip, come on, I got other stuff for you to do." In my mind, he's thinking, "Man, that's just the bad pizza. God's not telling me to leave this place. There's amazing things happening." So God sends an angel to nudge him along, and he sends him into the desert. It literally means a desolate or abandoned area. Can you imagine? He's in this great place. Great things are happening. And the Holy Spirit's like, "Yeah, you need to leave this amazing setting and go to the desolate place." But God has a plan, and the Spirit is leading Philip. Once he responds and he begins to move, he gets to the place where God wants him, and the carriage begins to go by, and it says he runs to keep up with the carriage. This is why you should go to the gym. God might ask you to keep up with the carriage. You just don't know. But this isn't just any carriage. This has the treasurer of Ethiopia. This is a high-ranking government official. And he's reading scripture. Now, in our minds, when we read this, we go, oh, yeah, he's reading his Bible, big deal. No. In this time frame, in this setting, this is highly unusual. Typically, what would happen is if you were going to have a copy of the scriptures, you would have a scroll. And usually the whole synagogue would come together. You know, we want a building fund. They had a scriptures fund because it was expensive. They were handwritten. They were transcribed. This guy was able, apparently on his visit to Jerusalem, because it said he went there to worship, he was able to purchase a set of these and take them back to Ethiopia with him, and he's sitting there reading them. Philip says, do you know what you're reading? Reading aloud, that was common during those days. It was a common thing when you read to read out loud. And so the question is asked, do you understand? With this simple question, Philip is invited into the carriage. So what is the question we should be asking today? When the Spirit leads you at the grocery store, do we respond or do we vacate the grocery list and hurry to self-checkout? Avoid the other humans. Do we pray with somebody in the middle of Winco? Is that okay? It was a simple question, and it engaged another person, and ministry began. It can be a simple question to somebody else in this room. We have great ministries taking place in this time. Opportunities to learn, to grow. Miss Rachel's going to come. And she is going to share about what is happening in the women's ministries because there's great things happening. Like right now. I even have a microphone for you. We got the spotlights on. It's okay, we have doctors in the house. No, but... Well, the lights will highlight your highlights. I know. It looks great.
Thank you. Okay. Hi. I wrote what I'm going to write, or what I'm going to, doesn't matter. Here we go. 2024 was such a great year. We started the year off with a tea party. We talked about God using our broken pieces for his glory. We had our first ever Mother's Day boutique. We made the fellowship hall into a store and raised money that was used to pay for the Airbnb for women's retreat. We had a couple bunko nights where we really learned a lot about each other, especially Peggy. Yes. All while trying to win prizes. We completed a Bible study on the book of Luke where we learned about Jesus's gut-level compassion. Then a whole group of us went to stay a weekend in that Airbnb we paid for in Cascade and got to hear not only one, but two really great speakers. We had the whole weekend to really spend time together and get to know everyone. Now we are here, 2025, and we just started our first Bible study of the year. We are taking a deep dive into the book of John. It's not too late to laugh and learn with us on Thursdays, and we would be honored to have all of you ladies there. Done.
I'll get you coffee. You did a good job. She She's my sister-in-law, so I can poke fun at her a little bit. So there's pictures that were scrolling. That was a great one to stop on. In the background, they're in no particular order. If you wonder what your kids experience at kids' church or a kids' camp up in Cascade, this is from kids' camp. So a lot of the pictures are kids' camp. But you're going to see women's retreat. You're going to see the tea party. You're going to see, this is like a 20-plus minute video that we made with all the activities from the last year to remind you, or if you're new with us, to show you what happens here. What's going on? Why do we talk about all of these things? Why do we have women's ministry? Look, when I do premarital counseling, my wife gets mad at me every time I say this, but I still say it. One of the things I tell the man is the best thing you can do for your marriage is make sure your wife has a best friend. Because she's going to use like 20,000 words a day. And you don't have the capacity to respond to that many words in a day. And I love my wife. 27 years this summer. No, is that right? It's 2025. And so I always say, man, have a best friend for your wife. That's the best thing you can do. All the men. No, I did not. We've had a few of those. They're not. Ladies' ministry, women's ministry, opportunity. It's not a gripe about your man session. It's a learn to grow closer to Jesus session to encourage and build one another up. They're competitive, apparently. That's what I hear. At least Peggy is. And Starlene. The Spirit leads us. The Spirit guides us. The Spirit draws us. Women's ministries is one of those things that we do because it's important. Let's go back to the carriage. Verse 32 says, the passage of scripture he had been reading was this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. Verse 34, the eunuch asked Philip, tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else? So beginning with this same scripture, and the eunuch was reading in Isaiah, Philip told him, the good news about Jesus. So Philip used the prophecy from Isaiah about Jesus to lead into what had just happened not that long ago, chronologically, at this point in the book of Acts. Jesus hadn't been crucified and resurrected. It had only been months ago, probably at the most. And he begins to explain everything that happened and how Jesus came and people were touched and how he died and was resurrected and ascended unto heaven. Verse 36 says, as they rode along, they came to some water. Remember, they're in the desolate place, so coming to water is a special thing. And the eunuch said, look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? And he ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. So number two is the Spirit transforms. This interaction is really quite simple. Philip told the eunuch about Jesus. You have a story about what God has done in your life. Sometimes it's this huge thing that God has set you free from. Sometimes it's this huge thing that God has protected you from. And that's equally as much as a testimony. There's things that you've encountered in your life that other people are encountering in their lives, and a simple conversation can bring those things to light. We don't need LED walls. This is our version of an LED wall. LED on the wall. It's just two people having a conversation. We spend, the church being this church, a lot of money and time and energy on events. Cooking dinner every Tuesday night. Which, by the way, we need one more set of volunteers unless you want to keep eating my pancakes. I know they're good, but they're not that good. Later in the meeting, you're going to see that those Tuesday night dinners are one of our biggest budget items. We spent almost $6,000 last year on Tuesday night dinners. And you go, what? You're expensive. It's a lot of people. Last year, we were feeding 40-ish people every Tuesday night. We started January's midweek services, and we had 60-some people here. That's a lot of spaghetti and meatballs. And that doesn't include we get a lot of food donated. People donate different things. They don't tell me what they bought. They don't give me a receipt. You go, well, is it worth it? I don't know. You made a friend or two, didn't you? The Holy Spirit wants to transform lives. Maybe that's in the desert. Maybe it's in a coffee shop. Maybe it's in the fellowship hall. Regardless, it happens when we build relationships with one another. It was a simple question that Philip asked that started a conversation and led to a transformed life. Over the last few years, we have spent a lot of time and money pouring into this building. Pastor Joel, I'm so sorry. Everybody, Pastor Joel and Tanda and their daughter are here visiting us today, our superintendent. And we're so excited to have them. And every time he comes, I'm like that kid that just got new shoes. Come look. Look how fast I can run. Look how high I can jump. Look at my new TVs. Come up in the attic. I'll show you all the cables we ran. And he's very gracious, and he smiles, and he hugs me, and he cheers me on, and he encourages me. And I appreciate it very much. But it's exciting. I remember when he took me on the very first tour of this place, and I keep the picture saved in my phone because I just don't know what to say. And it's when I walked into the men's bathroom for the very first time. And those of you that have been here for a while, you know, I should have put it in the pictures. And I open the door, and I go, Pastor Joel, have you seen this? And there's two toilets about this far apart with a shared roll of toilet paper and no dividers. Okay, there's a limit to fellowship, folks. That crosses a line. I think within the first month we were here, we fixed that. Sometimes the changes we make are subtle. Sometimes, like when we rearranged the chairs or when we yanked out the platform and threw in a new one and didn't tell anybody, you walk in and you go, whoa, you made a change. Why? Why do we do these things? So before I tell you why, thank you for being gracious. Because there's guys in my role in other churches that can't do these things. because people get mad. I remember taking the picture down in the foyer and thinking, man, I don't know. Like, this picture is horrible, but it's here for a reason. And I remember taking it down and thinking, okay, what are we going to see? And so I stood in the foyer that Sunday morning just to see. And I remember, I won't name them, but they came in and they looked up and they go, you took the picture down. Oh boy, here we go. I can take it. Thank goodness, that thing was hideous. I was like, whew. I went home, told you, Megan, I know what I'm doing. So why do we do these things? We want to create a space where people can come together. We want to create a space where relationships can be built. We want to create a space where the Holy Spirit is free to move. I almost couldn't hear the piano over you this morning. That was amazing. The Holy Spirit wants to be at work in us. Whether you got saved during the worship service, or whether you've been saved for 50 years. The Holy Spirit wants to be at work in you. And this is a place he wants to do it. And sometimes it just takes somebody being willing to ask a question. I had somebody stop by my office this week and they said, how are you doing? I said, good. That's the standard reply. How are you doing? I'm good. They go, no, how are you really doing? I answered that question. I'm good. And they go, no, really? And I go, oh, you're one of those. You're just not going to let it go until I'm actually honest with you. Well, let me tell you, since you want to know, the sun hasn't been out for a week. My vitamin D levels are on a fast decline. I'm not very energetic, I'm not very enthusiastic, and I'm certainly not excited. But I'm going to make it. And thank you for asking. That was an amen. Hey, we love the sound of babies in here, as long as there's somebody else. Brother Richard, would you come and share with us about men's ministries? Like, Rachel came up here. You have to come up here too. Well, I mean, I made Rachel. I'm going to hear about this later if you don't.
Well, I'm taller.
She is, so I don't have to come up here. Oh, boy. Yeah, last year's my first year here at the church, and it was a year of getting to realize who the people were. We spent a lot of time building relationships and realizing that God doesn't want men to go through life alone, to realize there's brothers that are willing to come alongside them. So we didn't do a lot of outside events last year. We did a camp out, which we really shared with each other. We just kind of sat around, just shared with our individual struggles or things we were going through. We started off the year this year watching the Chick-fil-A with our first annual chili cook-off. If you are a planner, realize that the third Sunday of every month, something's going on this next year. March, we're going to Impact Shooting Range. April, don't know quite yet. May, we're going to do outdoor shotguns at Sporting Clays. June, we'll be doing our breakfast burritos, and that's June. July, we're going to do a ride up to Pilot's Peak with UTVs, ATVs. Don't know where we're starting out yet. Got to check roads out before we can do that one. In August, we rented an Airbnb up out of Crouch, which 3 miles north up there. We'll be able to fish, swim, ride, golf, just have a good time up there. Again, building fellowship, building relationships with one another. So it's going to be a good year, and then we'll do the same thing with our First of the year, we'll do one of the bowl games and have our chili cook-off, and we'll see what September and October brings. So that's kind of where we're headed. If you want to know what's going on, it's the third Sunday of every month. Something will be there. We'll have something on the website to let you know what's going on, the times, and some of the costs that's going to be incurred with these events.
All right. It's pretty amazing. You know, I was very hesitant to start a men's ministry. I really honestly was like, I don't want to do another thing. And I was at a men's event, and I just felt really convicted. Man, we need to do something. So we started having breakfast. We started going out to breakfast, but not a lot of guys were coming. And I just kept praying, Lord, I just need somebody to, like, have the heart for this thing. Lord, that somebody that wants to come in and see the lives of these men transformed. And then Richard and Karen came and started fellowshipping, and we'd known Richard and Karen for a while from kids camp and teen camp. And man, Richard, is this something that would be on your heart? And man, he jumped at the opportunity. He's got a memory. He rattled off the whole year's calendar. Thinking, goodness gracious, what do I got to do? He's a couple years older than me. But these opportunities for men to build relationship. And men, we don't do tea parties. No. We don't do craft night. We go break something or shoot something, and then we laugh at each other, and now we're friends. That's how men work. We got to be in activity together, and that's how men build relationship. And we've got a great plan and schedule full of opportunities for men to build relationships. And all the men shudder slightly and go, I don't want to build relationships. But you need other men around you. You need somebody that can speak into your life. If it wasn't for that simple conversation between Philip and the eunuch, there never would have been a transformational moment when he said, there's water, I want to be baptized. The Lord's come into me and transformed me. When we come into relationship with one another, even men, even stubborn men that don't like to talk about their feelings, how are you? I'm good. Here's your candy, go. When we can engage in relationship and begin to have conversation, we can lift each other up and we can strengthen each other. We can laugh together. We can cry together. I'm good at it. I will cry with you. I don't mind. I'm not even embarrassed about it anymore. I've told you the stories. My kids put movies on to make me cry. And then they watch. Doing it. Minute four. 4 minutes and 53 seconds. It's a new record. So the Spirit transforms. Verse 39, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. So many questions. Meanwhile, Philip found himself further north at the town of Azotus. He preached the good news there and in every town along the way until he came to Caesarea. So the Spirit increases. The baptism is significant for a couple reasons. The water is one of them. They were in the desert. There shouldn't have been water there, it's rare to find water in the desert. We know that. We live in a desert. So that's significant. The verbiage of this passage is significant. We believe baptism by immersion. We lay you under the water. We have this beautiful stock tank. And we lay you under the water and we pull you up out of the water. Symbolic of the old man dying and the new creation in Christ coming up out of the water. And the verbiage here indicates that kind of baptism, like we see with Jesus in the Gospels. And it's just further confirmation about that kind of baptism. And so it's important for us to recognize that that's what it says. And the eunuch gets baptized. Frequently in the book of Acts, when there's a baptism and when all these things are taking place, just like took place in Samaria, we see the baptism of the Holy Spirit follow. There are some older transcripts that actually talk about the eunuch being baptized by the Holy Spirit in this moment. It is a logical conclusion. We don't know for sure. What we do know is he went away rejoicing. And this is where I have so many questions. If we go to the lake and I baptize you and you come up out of the water and I'm gone, I've got questions. Where is the part about the eunuch going, what just happened? Where did that guy go? I'm a little freaked out right now. But it says he went away rejoicing. There was so much happening in his life. The transformation that had just taken place. He is so excited about what God is doing. He's like, well, there's another miracle. That guy's gone. I'm going to go back to Ethiopia and tell people about Jesus. He's got scriptures with him, like a physical copy, so he can go back to where he's from and begin to spread the gospel. When we're excited about something, we want to tell people about it. Which means you should all be inviting people to church because you're so excited about what's happening at Sunny Ridge Church. In case you weren't getting to the logical conclusion. The Spirit increases. He continued to grow the church through this seemingly random encounter. Not random, because it was directed by God, directed by the Holy Spirit. He continued to grow the church. The Ethiopian went about his way to share what he's excited about. And the Spirit of God moved Philip to a new location. Where he moved him was about 20 miles away, the other side of the desert. And it said he continued to move along sharing. The word used there when Philip is taken away, that when it says he was snatched away, it's the same word that's used in 1 Thessalonians where we talk about the rapture of the church. It was snatched away. He was taken away. And then he finds himself the other side of the desert. Pastor Joel wants to travel like this because he puts hundreds of thousands of miles on his car every year, and he's like, this would be nice. This would be way more efficient. You know, sometimes we read things like this and we just kind of shake our heads. And we're limited by our own understanding or our own what we really think can happen. We say things like, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then we go, that was crazy. That doesn't happen anymore. Does it? I actually had lunch with somebody this last week who their friend just recently had something like this happen. And you're going, yeah, that person you met with is crazy. No, they're pretty legit. And I don't know the other person. I don't know the whole story. Does God still heal? God still fill people with his Spirit? Does God still want to move and transform lives? So do we really believe what we read? Or do we primarily believe it as long as we're comfortable with it? It's a lot easier when we're comfortable with it. When they want to try a new meal at home, you know who the most resistant person in the house is?
Me.
I just want the same things that I already know I like. Because I know I like it. I know it's going to be good. I know you've practiced that meal for many years. I'm not sure everybody knows how to read a recipe or write a recipe. The Holy Spirit wants to increase in us, in our church, in our prayer lives, increase our level of obedience, increase what's happening in the church, increase our ministries. We have two new ministries starting. We have the young adults kickoff this afternoon, which is phenomenal. It is a ministry that every church needs, but every church struggles to do. So we're going to struggle with everybody else. It's a tough group. They're in all different places in life: single, college, working, married, kids, no kids. Maybe even divorced already. All kinds of different things happening in life. But it's a critical time for people in that age group. I remember we met some friends when we were in that age group that were about the same age as us, had a few more kids than us, but we tried to catch up. And we've been friends for 25 years. We've laughed together, we've cried together, we've rescued each other's kids. And it's been a great thing. Nobody knew what young adults were back then. They happened to come to church, and my father-in-law was our pastor, and he goes, "Take those people to lunch, we need them in our church." I'm like, okay. And we stood in the parking lot of the local pizza place and stood until our legs couldn't stand anymore, and we chatted and we talked and we laughed and we went, "Oh, these people are actually okay. We like the husband and the wife." You need that community. So young people, please go to this. Have I made my point? Just kicking the dog. The second ministry is we're going to start a prayer time. We've had a prayer ministry going. Peggy leads that, and she sends out text messages to people so that they can receive the prayer requests and be praying for whatever things are happening. And that's a great thing. We're going to add to that, and on Mondays at 9:30 in the morning, we're going to have a prayer time. And we're excited about that. It's going to start in March. Do you know what fuels a church? Prayer and missions. If you're praying and you're giving to missions, something's going to happen. If you don't believe me, stick around. So we're excited about that. This is excited, Rob. This is also frustrated, Rob. So the Holy Spirit has this place, Sunny Ridge Church, here for a reason. He has you in this building for a reason. It's not by happenstance. Those that are not present should be present. And you should miss them, and you should reach out to them this week. Text them, call them, email them. Does anybody email anymore? No. Not since we started texting. Get a hold of somebody. Say, "Man, there's dust on your seat. You need to come clean it." You know, it's only a guilt trip until they figure out you actually care and miss them and want them present, that you actually want to be engaged with relationship with them. Once that connection is made, it's not a guilt trip. It's, "My church family misses me. I need to be connected." God is going to continue to increase in this place. One of the areas that we are seeing increase, and more increase is going to come, is kids' ministries. That's your cue. And so Megan is going to come and talk to us. It was super subtle. You have to come up here. You're not tall like Richard. And I need you to speak into my little microphone right here. You're going to be YouTube famous.
I hate that for me. Hi, you guys. Rob jokes a lot about change and doing things, but you guys are incredible in that you're so completely 100% supportive. And I'm going to just list off a whole lot of ways that kind of prove that today. First, I'm going to start with Children's Church and Kids Ministries. This year for BGMC, we set a new goal of $2,000 to raise. And with your guys' support, we raised $2,000 and $400 extra. So that was really fun and super just exciting. And the kids are so excited about it. And whenever we put something to you guys as a group, you just come in and you just kind of wrap your arms around whatever we're doing. And we succeed every time and then some. And I just appreciate that. The other thing that happened this year that was really exciting is we built a playground. And the kids, when we got to tell them about it the first Sunday, the craziest part about that playground was we had some support from Lowe's, and we appreciate that. And then when we put it to you guys, it was like a week and a half, and you guys funded the full thing. And so the guys in our men's ministries were so excited about it that they actually, and there will be pictures, they are right now, perfect. They were so excited that Lowe's would have put it together for us, but they went and picked up all the parts, and they put it together themselves. And I think there's even a picture of Lynn riding the airplane, so stick around and watch that. But the kids, when I got to tell them that we said, hey, we'd like to have a playground, and that you guys said, okay, let's do it, and we had it in less than 2 weeks. I mean, it was here. It was put together. That doesn't just happen everywhere for everybody. And you guys love the kids so much, and that was proof to them. They got it. They got it, and they were excited. The other thing that we did this year is we took a crew to camp. Thank you, Sapphire, for she was it, man. She took those girls, and they had the best time, and there's so many pictures of that. Camp is amazing. Getting to spend about a week up there just with other kids loving Jesus and seeing how much fun loving Jesus can be, there's nothing like it. And we appreciate your help sending and sending your kids and trusting us with them. They'll never forget it. I went to camp every year of my life as a kid, and I've never forgotten it. Another big thing this year in kids' ministry is we outgrew our room, and so that was very exciting. So we've split rooms, and we have two groups and then the nursery, so all of the rooms in this church are fully used. And the guys, again, came through. You guys came through. We put big screen TVs in there for worship time for the kids, and we're able to use multimedia, and they're loving it, and we have the space to get rowdy. And you hear us, and you love us, and you let us be loud, and you're happy to hear the noise, and I appreciate that so much, never having to worry about that. Let's see, we have, I need to roll back to BGMC this year. Our giving to BGMC is going to support Fire Bible Translations, and so there'll be more about that later, but I just wanted to mention that, and it's going to be really effective for people that don't have God's word in their language. Let's see. I want to thank the volunteers that have come out this year for Kids Church. When we say we need help, we always have it, and you guys are amazing. And the last thing is, this year we had kids get baptized, and that was amazing to watch and fun, and there should be pictures of that rolling through here too. So thank you to all my volunteers. Thank you to you for giving and for sending your kids. We love them, and we love having fun with them. So they're going to know Jesus, and they're going to remember him, and they're going to be world changers, and it's exciting. This year we started a youth group, and that was brand new to us here. That's been very fun. I am reminded of the verse in the Bible that talks about not despising small beginnings because the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. We have a little group. It's about 6 to 12 every week. And again, we said, hey, you guys, we need some help with youth, and we have 7 volunteers already. So when we need help, you guys show up again. The kids are a lot of fun. We're going through some different topics and things, and we have a lot of good discussion. We did camp this year with Awaken. Our kids know the Awaken youth group kids, and so we went up with them. I don't have a lot of pictures of that because I wasn't in charge of that, but we appreciate you sending your kids again for the same reason as for kids camp. We also had teen baptisms this year, and just it's new, and it's so much fun to see a youth group start here. And I just appreciate your prayers and your support. And in all of these things, I really can honestly say I've spent my whole life as a pastor's kid from the first Sunday I was born all the way through being a pastor's wife now. And the level of support and care that you guys show for the kids and the teens in this church, I've never seen anything like it. And I just appreciate you guys so much. So that's it. That's all.
Good things are happening. These pictures are amazing. That's a great picture. Maybe not my side profile as much, but the rest of the picture and kids getting baptized. Disclaimer, the videos are sped up to keep this thing moving. Your kids aren't actually going that fast on the zip line. It looked like they were screaming down the zip line. It's not that fast, I promise. You can keep up with them. And this fairly padded. It doesn't hurt that bad. I saw the video go by, and I was like, oh man, I got to remember to tell people those are sped up. So good things are happening, and we are excited about them. But more than that, we are excited that you are a part of it. Just like God used Philip. You know, he continued along the Mediterranean Sea until he came to Caesarea. And years later, Philip was still in Caesarea. And it appears that's where he kind of made his home base. And then he would travel from there and evangelize. And he eventually became known as Philip the Evangelist. God had a purpose for him, and he used him. God has a plan and a purpose for you. I believe it's in this place. I believe that God wants to use Sunny Ridge Church to transform this valley. He has a plan and a purpose for us in this valley. The vision for us is to be like the Church of Acts. The things that happen right here with Philip and the eunuch are so simple and so easy for us to implement in our own lives. It's a conversation. It's asking somebody a simple question. Do you understand that? How are you navigating that situation in your life? Do you need help? Do you want to get coffee? And all of a sudden, a relationship starts, and we begin to engage in life with another human being. And we have opportunity to share with them about the gospel, about Jesus Christ, about his life-transforming power, about his grace and his mercy. And the vision is for us to be like that, allowing God to move in us and through us and to use this place. Amen? It is amazing. We are going to take about a 5-ish minute break-ish. That doesn't mean 10. That means 5 or 6. If you are a member, we really want you to stick around. If you are not, you are free to leave.